Today's Thursday, May 2nd. The title for our devotional is Paul, Empowered by the Spirit. Yesterday we looked at how Peter was empowered by the Spirit in his ministry. Today let's look at Paul. Let's begin by reading segments of Acts 13. Let's begin in verses 1 through 4. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was black. Okay, the word the text uses is no longer appropriate. It has become a very disparaging term in our culture, so I'm not going to say it. But it certainly was not a disparaging term then. Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. Continuing on, Acts 13, we're going to skip ahead to verse 8 through 12. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Then going ahead to verse 48 to 52, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. This is an interesting one. Okay, most of the references with the Holy Spirit are in the context of a positive display of God's power. Even in the earlier verses in this chapter. Here, the mission in Antioch is met with mixed results. All who were appointed for eternal life believed. Conversely, the Jewish leaders stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, expelling them from the region. Even in the midst of all of this, they were, quote, filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Here we see, as we do all through Acts, that Spirit-empowered ministry doesn't equal 100% effectiveness. It does, however, equal obedience to the Lord, and that is what we are called to do. Let's go to chapter 16 of Acts now and look at another account of Paul's life, beginning here in verse 6. We're going to read through verse 10. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Here we see the Spirit of God directing Paul's decisions of where to go and preach the gospel. Now, we unfortunately are not told how the Spirit reveals these things to Paul, at least the first two, but it seems as if it was obvious. The Spirit tells him not to go to these two places. Then he is given a vision by God to go to Macedonia. That one seems more clear. As Paul was carrying out his commission from Jesus to be the apostle of the Gentiles, he was open to the leading of the Holy Spirit along the way. This, it seems to me, is a great example of how to practically carry out Spirit-led ministry. My dad often says that in his ministry, he will pick up his foot to move forward, and he will, in the process, allow God to place it down where he wills. Paul was given the big picture plan of being the apostle to the Gentiles. So he was going about that business. He was being obedient, doing the work that God had called him to. While he went along, however, he was not married to his strategy and to his vision for how to accomplish that mission. He was open to the Spirit leading him in different directions as he did in so many ways and so many different times. This is such a great model for us today. All right, finally, one more story from Paul's life. Acts 20, 22 to 23 says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Before going to Jerusalem, Paul stopped at Tyre. There, a group of believers, quote, through the Spirit, were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Later, a prophet, Agabus, prophesies to Paul, thus says the Holy Spirit, he says. Okay, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. He took off Paul's belt and bound his hands, prophesying that Paul would be arrested and taken prisoner in Jerusalem. But Paul would not be persuaded, as we read in 20:22-23. He was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit warns him still that he would face prison and hardship along the way. So he goes to Jerusalem anyways. These events reveal the difficulty in being led by the Spirit of God in ministry. It seems as if the Spirit revealed to other believers that Paul would be imprisoned and killed, which he was. They, however, interpreted that to mean that he shouldn't go. Like Jesus, the suffering that awaited him in Jerusalem, however, didn't mean that it wasn't God's will for him to go there. It seems as if they had misinterpreted what they received from the Holy Spirit. This is a common dilemma in ministry. Anyone can say that God told them to do something, and who can argue with that? This is the scary part for me and many others in ministry. If we are to be Spirit-led, how do we discern what the Spirit is saying and how do we interpret it properly? This is a real tension in the church community. And on this, I have a few key suggestions. One, seek the Spirit in community. Ask other believers to seek the Spirit's leading and to help you discern. Two is we need to be humble. Even when hearing from God, we may misinterpret the meaning. We need to humbly admit that. Three, we need to ask the Spirit to guide our steps and patiently listen for His direction. And then fourth, we have to immerse ourselves in the Word inspired by the Spirit. We need to know the Spirit, and so we should go to the Word that He inspired to know Him. Knowing what the Spirit has said in the Bible so well that you can learn His character, learn His voice, you learn His person, you come to know Him so that you can better hear Him.